Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. So welcome to the Marketing Technology Podcast. Today we have Emily Sikorsky and Justin Foster with Root and River. Emily, to start with you, could you introduce yourself and Root and River for us, for our audience?
Absolutely. So we believe at Root and River that every great brand is a spiritual experience. And we practice what we call intrinsic branding, which is an extension of that idea that brands are really built from the inside out. And we help our clients uncover the foundational truths that are the heart and soul of their brand. So their mission, their belief set, their standards of an organization. And then we help them, coach them along the way to making those brands real internally and externally. We're kind of excavators of the truth of the brand that already exists. We're not prescriptive, but we're uncoverers of the brand. And then we help you make that real once we're done with that spiritual process. We help make that real in the world through very practical marketing and storytelling, essentially. That's a little bit about Root and River.
So are you one of the founders of Root and River?
Yes. And as far as me, I am the co-founder of Root and River. And I have a background in corporate communications and journalism and public relations. Back in the early days of my career, I was a teacher abroad. Mm-hmm. And so I bring all of this to bear with Root and River, essentially because I've always been obsessed with people's stories and their inner truths and their inner worlds and how those manifest out in the world. And branding is really that. And when Justin and I met, we immediately had this connection, this meeting of the minds that we wanted to bring these timeless ideas of storytelling and inner work into the world of branding and help rid the world of all the pretense and all of the positioning and construct nature of branding. We wanted to get rid of that. And so that's been our mission since we started about 4 years ago.
Nice. Okay, so we'll elaborate a little on that later on. But before that, I'd like to hear Justin's story, Justin's background.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for having us on. I guess kind of the key highlights of my near 49 years is I was raised on a 60,000 acre cattle ranch in Eastern Oregon. So I grew up a cowboy. And that has informed or framed a lot of my view of work and, you know, work hard, do a good job, you know, honor, respect, things like that. And then as far as I know, I'm the only branding guy that came out of sales. Most branding people come out of, you know, the corporate side or the agency side, but my corporate career for 10 plus years was in technology sales. Mm-hmm. And I came into branding and marketing around the time in the early 2000s where all of the old ways of marketing were shifting because the technology was changing. You know, this is around the time when Salesforce came onto the scene. This is the time where YouTube and then Facebook and then Twitter, they all started to change the structure. And what we figured out is in the branding and marketing world, the things that I used to do to create sales funnels and decision trees and all of these things that were sort of B2B sales essentials worked in the branding world because it shifted from one to many to one to one in the process of selling. And I met Emily at a conference 5.5 years ago. We clicked, our voices blended. I sometimes jokingly say it was probably what it was like when Lennon met McCartney. And we just knew we had to make something with this. And five plus years later, here we are.
Wow. And you were just saying Root and River, you're all about a spiritual experience. Could you explain a little what you mean by that? Because that's, to me, to be honest, seems a little abstract. Yes. So what do you mean by this spiritual experience?
What's the root and what's the river?
Love it. Yeah, so I'll share all about that. So the idea is that we've sort of divorced ourselves from the idea that human beings are really at the heart of businesses and human beings have thoughts, feelings, emotions, rational thought, you know, emotions that rise, and also a spiritual nature. And so what we choose to dedicate ourselves to, and we dedicate a third of our lives to the work that we do, it is infused with our human spirit. And our idea is just to return to that, to honor it, and to know that all motivation and all ideas generate from this center. And it's not religious at all. It's more about the human spirit. And so what we're trying to do is uncover and put words to what is often left unnamed. So the reason why you do what you do, the beliefs that inform you as a person, and then therefore they really inform the business that you're doing, whether you're there as an employee or you are creating a business. These foundational elements are at play and they become part of your brand every single day, but typically they're unnamed and they're just sort of felt but not articulated. So we think there is power in articulating those things. And it's also culturally, the culture that grows around you is enacting or acting upon those elements. And so when we can all get on the same page with what those are and put them into language that we can then use every day in sales conversations and marketing conversations and vendor or partner conversations, there's a cohesion that happens, and there's a it's a spreading of ideas. The words that come out of our mouth, that word of mouth that is the holy grail of marketing, becomes more succinct, more real, and organic. And that's really what we mean by spiritual experience. So the root is that we have to dive.
I just wanted to, because before we depart from there. So the old world of marketing and branding was about the generation, kind of the false generation of emotion, using fear, uncertainty, and doubt primarily to manipulate people into buying something that they may or may not need. And that's true in B2B. It's true in B2C. In the new world, in this new world, we think is much more about intrinsic branding, as Emily was just talking about, is about connecting with an emotion that's already there, the emotion of belonging to something. Look at what Patagonia has done in that case, is you belong to something, or Harley Davidson, you belong to something, or IKEA. It's a sense of belonging, and it's a sense of membership. Or agency, like this is my thing. And it generates in brain science and neurology, and when they do brain mapping, of heat mapping of the brain, when you can tap into an existing emotion that's based in the responsive, what would be considered the positive or the responsive part of the brain, it's like falling in love. And it feels like a spiritual experience. So that feeling you have maybe when you see the Sistine Chapel, or that feeling you have when you see a newborn baby, or that feeling of seeing the ocean or a lake, that feeling is already in you and it's being activated by the experience. And that's what branding is today. That's what we mean by spiritual experience. Wow.
So I've always been intrigued by this, because what you're saying about Patagonia and about Harley Davidson, brands that you would like to belong to, that's something I would say every marketer wants, right? So if you're a marketer for a company, you always want to connect to those people. You're calling that like a spiritual experience. You're in the intrinsic level. Let's say I'm a marketer working for a company that sells products and is known for its products. It's not known for its brands. Where do I start if I want to achieve something like Patagonia? How would you advise us to start?
And I would like to add just one thing. Does every company have this intrinsic spiritual part?
Does it apply to everyone?
Does it apply to everyone?
Yes. Whether or not you choose to build from that, articulate it and build from that, that's dependent upon the leader and the leadership. But it's there, whether or not you tap into it. And the best place to start is really what our name kind of denotes, Root and River, is to go into that root system and understand what is the mission, not a mission statement, because those are long run-on sentences that come out of long, boring meetings that no one remembers, but what is the mission of the organization? What are you here to do in the world? the belief set, naming those. We believe that when we help our clients uncover the five core beliefs that really inform everything that they do. And then from there, how do those play out into everyday standards? And when you begin to articulate these things, you can speak about the brand in a way that is an invitation into a movement and is not about selling your product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I think playing into that or like framing that out a little bit more is that, as Emily said earlier, that brands are human-centric whether they choose to be or not, because the brand is no longer owned by the legal owner. It's owned by the people that it serves. You see that when employees revolt and they give you a bad rating on Glassdoor, they quit. That is them taking power into their own hands. Or in the marketplace, rejects you because they feel like your products are poor or your policies are bad or your behavior is bad. The mythology that leaders have that they still stick to is the mythology is that they can still control everything. They can control it all. And you can't. You have to surrender or submit to the idea that you as a leader are a steward of an idea. That's sometimes why we refer to as the CEO's real job is the chief spiritual officer. The other conflict here that changes marketing is and branding is that where it goes to this idea of does everybody have every organization have this, is there's a lot of disconnect from who they really are. So there's an identity crisis, just as there would be in a human. There's identity crisis inside of companies. And when you have an identity crisis combined with power, let's say a lot of people know who you are, you're making good money, you then create cognitive dissonance because you can create a false image of who, you can create this false image or this illusion of who people think you are. If you are operating from a state of an illusion, then there's no way to do intrinsic branding because you are denying that there's something inside of you that's the truth compared to this false thing that you made and put in the world and support it with advertising. Carnival Cruise Lines is a great example of that. Toxic internal issues, shiny advertising, and it's unsustainable.
Okay, so that makes it like a little clear to me, like when you're sitting down with a team and you're trying to find out the core beliefs. So let's say you have found out those five or six core beliefs that a company stands for, that is actually true, that can be articulated to the world. We are in the Marketing Technology Podcast. So how would you scale this? How would you bring this to the world? Let's say I have those core beliefs. We believe them in our little room. We put them on the website and that.
Yeah. How do you bring those ideas to scale so that everybody knows it or feel it or identify them?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens is once you have those beliefs put together and the standards, which end up being short little sentences that are sort of mantras, these begin to form internal conversations like, oh, this person's living out this standard. Stories start to emerge of how they lived out this standard with a client, with a customer in the product development. And those are stories that now we begin to tell. So instead of going on to social media and using our technology, our email system to blast out offers and deals and discounts and talk about our products, suddenly we're talking about some deeper things. And we're telling stories that relate back to the core mission of the organization. And this sort of content is much more resonant with a market. And it will attract people who are of like mind and heart, so to speak, so that they are more of the follower movement type people. They're engaged in the brand in that way. So this really becomes sort of the sourdough starter, the beliefs, the mission, the standards. And also we help our clients craft a message, which is what we call a root belief. And it goes out into the world. Our root belief is we believe every great brand is a spiritual experience. So you begin to start every conversation, as I did today, with that root belief. And from there, it is a conversation starter. And it can plug into any sort of automation in that manner.
And here's what technology brings to the table with this type of thinking. or type of approach or philosophy. First is you can market to people as individuals. With, if you're using something that has tagging, you can tag people by an archetype. You can tag people by their status, whether they're a customer, a prospect, an old customer, an influencer. And then you can speak to them directly, as close to directly as you can, as opposed to the, you know, dear subscriber or like direct mail, you know, dear occupant, that impersonal. So that's the first thing, is it makes it personal, and it makes personal scalable. The second thing that happens with technology is the use of social media content development as a thought leadership platform, not as a promotions, like, as Em said, like, you know, selling the latest widget and buy now, and it's $20 off if you buy before Friday, and you know, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And switching to this mindset of thought leadership, which is having a point of view, having a point of view that you're sharing with the world, and you're educating and enlightening and inviting rather than interrupting with technology. So social media and email marketing and content development, those are excellent platforms. And the third one is, it's so much easier to do lead capture in the room if you're doing things like speaking events, for example, which speaking at a conference, which is still a phenomenal branding tool to go speak at a conference or at a workshop. To be able to do lead capture in the room because of technology is now almost a no-brainer. And that all then falls into this marriage between your all your various lists and then your lead gen or your lead conversion strategy. And you can scale it as big as the technology will take you if you are consistent at sharing your root belief, at living out your standards, and owning a category or having a point of view in the marketplace. So if you're consistent with those, then these awesome marketing technology tools that are available at all various scales and levels, they can your brand can get as big, or your brand reach can get as big as the technology can handle, which is a pretty cool place to operate from.
So go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. So basically, if I can rephrase it, is that this whole branding, the spiritual part, that is, it is like the theme of a story, and it's your theme. It's unique. And instead of selling, you're actually getting people to be part of that story. You intrigue them of that story, and the selling part is like a result of that. Instead of that, it's a primary goal.
Yes, I think that's very well said.
Okay.
Yeah, then you're rephrasing well. So one of the things that I'm just intrigued about is we're big Seth Godin fans, and mm-hmm. At Marketing Guys, and we use his books a lot. We spoke to him recently, and one of the things we like about it is that he keeps things pretty simple in pretty simple statements. And one of the statements is there's just two reasons for people to buy from you, and that's number one, because they know you, and number two, because they trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And brilliantly said, I would say. And you're working very much on that trust part, right? So people start to trust you because you're sharing content that actually moves them, that comes really authentic to them. And that's what really intrigues me. What my question is, because I haven't asked a question yet, my question is, in marketing, in online marketing, there's two kinds of advertising basically online. So first of all, you have the action marketing or direct marketing ads that are your AdWords, Google ads, your social ads, brand advertising emails, etc. So really measurable ads. So how many people clicked on an ad? How many people converted to customers? When we're looking at brand advertising, Seth Godin really makes a statement that you shouldn't want to measure that, because mm-hmm. Is that something you would second, or?
I would agree. I mean, I don't think I disagree with Seth Godin
on anything
so far that I've read and consumed of his. Big fans as well. Yes, because I would agree, because at the brand level, I think our time is much better spent investing in thought leadership and sharing of the message and developing a category in the market, as opposed to just blanket advertising. And we kind of call that old world that Justin was talking about earlier, and that mentality of buying ads to force a brand down someone's throat, sort of blunt force trauma marketing. And I don't really think it works anymore.
No,
it only works if you're selling, and this is a very blunt statement. Blunt force trauma marketing, or that's carpet bombing, saturation marketing, whatever you want to call it, it works when you're selling to low conscious people or dumb people, because it's easy to manipulate them. But we have now a much more, most consumers have access to tons of information. They have a higher level of, they have an elevated consciousness. And so when you try to use saturation, what you're doing is it's almost as if the type of marketing you're doing has more impact on your brand than the marketing itself, than the message itself. That's how flipped the funnel is, or how flipped the polarity is between the old world and the new world. The other thing on this issue of advertising is, we're not against advertising. Advertising is great as a reminder tool. It's a pretty terrible introduction tool. It's because no one's ever heard of you and nobody cares and they're not waiting around to hear from you, but it's a pretty good reminder tool. But it goes to something Emily said about allocation of resources. And we would say that your ROI on your marketing dollars is spent far better on retention than attention. Attention takes care of itself when you're branding from the soul, because people go, that's different. It's what we call the bacon rule. Everybody knows what bacon is. It doesn't need any marketing. And this is the same thing here, is that you don't need to pay for, if you have to pay for attention, there's something off. If you're paying for retention, what you're doing is you're goosing or amplifying word of mouth. You're increasing your brand perception. You're building trust or brand equity, trust equity in the marketplace.
So basically what you're saying is that you should advertise something that's already existing, something that's already as an idea is already in place. It's retention, people know. But if you are getting the word out, or starting, or even connecting with people who are starting with their customer journey, then it's much more important to put the emphasis on that intrinsical part of your company and your thought leadership, the whole reason why you exist as a company at all.
Yes, we would agree with that for sure. And we would also say that you're working to start a conversation. And so advertising doesn't really start a conversation. So you have to look for other ways to begin that conversation about why they should love and trust you. We often say, very similar to what you said about Seth's comment, is that great brands run on love and trust. And that's what we're trying to generate in the marketplace.
Cool. So one other thing that came up to my mind, I've been looking into a lot of recent studies on generations marketing, etc. Do the different generations differ in a way of approaching them with your branding message? What I mean is, like, the Generation Z, for example, consumes completely different than the Generation X or millennials or even baby boomers. Do you have an opinion about that? So how do you reach those people with brand message, or your spiritual brand message?
Well, I think definitely generations react differently, but we feel that this approach is sort of timeless. It's more human-centric than any kind of generation-centric. But I would say that Gen Zers and millennials are much more likely to respond to a heart-based message, or the root belief, because that's what they are looking for as consumers, is alignment between what they believe and who they're doing business with, and how those people believe what they believe and what they're putting out there in the world. They're seeking that alignment. And so that is part of the criteria that they go into the marketplace and vet from. And I think more and more, we see a lot more and more boomers thinking this way as well, returning to this thought process. I think early in their lives, they were more friendly to that idea. But we really feel like it's human, it's a human-centric approach. And although things may shift generation to generation, people want to know who they're doing business with and what that really means. Because in our, as Justin mentioned earlier, in our world, if you, what you say you do is different than how you actually are as a person and how you treat your employees, it will be revealed and you will lose that love and trust in a heartbeat. And now no one wants to do business with you.
Yeah, I think that's the big business. The big difference is that everything will be revealed sooner or later.
Right.
Correct.
There's no hiding.
There is no hiding, right? If you're a a-hole, everybody knows it now. You look at what's happened, like with the founder of Uber or other like high-profile leaders that were able to cover up with that shiny pretense because there was no mechanism to reveal what was really going on. I would also say on this issue of audience and shifting is it's really shifting the thinking of a marketer away from demographics to psychographics. And this is why we're quite critical of like personas as an example of something to do. Like we're going to talk to, you know, entrepreneur Ellen and corporate Chad in, you know, these sort of these personas, and shifting instead to using archetypical science, basically Jungian psychology, to create an archetype that says, okay, this is the psychographic profile of our audience. And here's a little secret related to this. And this is where marketing technology comes in, because you can adjust the way that you market according to their archetype. And that archetype can be placed on Maslow's hierarchy.
What kind of tools do you suggest to, could you use there? Because if you want to market that way, it's like one-on-one. Do you have experience with any tools? Can you share something with our audience on which specific techniques or tools you're referring to?
Yeah. So a couple of them, and they're more Zen or spherical than linear or literal or systems oriented. So, but they're still tools. One is ask your sales team which customers they work with that are energy positive. And say, so that make them think, give you a list of names and be like, okay, well, what makes them energy positive? Well, they're easy to work with, they're honest, they're decisive, whatever their behavior is, you can begin to craft what your salespeople or your customer service people, the people that are out on the front lines, they know who the ideal client is if they're listened to in a small firm or a big giant global company, same thing. Number two is surveying around using archetypical questions, survey your user base. What motivates you? What makes you happy? What gives you joy? What makes you angry? Where you're actually talking to them as a human, not as a seller of products or services. When you have that information, then you can begin to, you can use all kinds of various tools like tagging or specific funnels that are around the archetypes that you've created, that who you're talking to. And what this produces then is a natural type of attraction, because people go, oh, they get me. And it creates a natural kind of repulsion, which is, oh, these people aren't for me. And that's also very efficient, because it reduces your cost per customer acquisition.
Yeah, so I'm very intrigued with the archetypal approach. Mm-hmm. Personas are very much, when we hear personas, or when I get personas in my mailbox, very often it's a person that has a BMW and has three kids that go to hockey, yes, etc. And I have to help, let's say, build in the marketing automation flows or whatever. And I say, how can I? I'm not going to ask anybody what they do with the sports and the hockey. I can't do anything. So I prefer to go more, what are the pain points? What keeps them awake at night? What makes them happy? Mm-hmm. And create, let's say, nurturing flows based on those emotions instead of it's a CEO or whatever, because people all, the job title is one part, but it's, you can tell a story based on emotions. You can't tell a story based on a job title.
Right.
That's right. Well right. said. Yeah. Write that down and tweet it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a very interesting thing. You spoke a little bit of starting the conversation. How do I start the conversation? Which marketing technology tools can help amplify that conversation? So how do I start and how do I get it amplified? Have you got any suggestions on that part?
Sure. Whenever we work with a client and we've gotten that foundational brand elements in place, the first place that we roll that out is obviously to the website, the homepage. And we put that root belief right there at the top of the page. And then we infuse that throughout the website. If they have a blog and it's sort of turned into a just promotional mishmash of services, what we like to do is infuse the blog with stories that illustrate the standards. You can even do a series on each one of the standards just to get very technical. And then we begin to market. We send out what we call an open letter to the client base that's already in the email list that sort of announces that, hey, this is what I believe, this is what I'm all about, and has some sort of call to action for them to respond. We also employ some surveying. We use SurveyMonkey, but there's so many great survey tools out there to do what Justin just mentioned. Ask your customers what they love, what they don't love, what's one way that we can improve. And you can do that. One way that we've seen one of our clients do that is infuse that into every single follow-up email that goes out with a not an NPS, but just a one-click rating system of did you love it or hate it, heart or broken heart. And they have gotten more feedback and been able to implement more change more quickly once they did that. And they reach out directly to that person, then they also capture that story. It goes back on the blog. And again, all of this, we're like Seth, we try to keep things super simple. All of these stories and the things that come out, the comments from surveys, that gets infused into social media, that gets scheduled out. We use Buffer. We like that app. That gets scheduled out. And we have this constant stream of storytelling that is going on, but it is based on this root message and the core of the brand. So those are some more practical ways that we start the conversation.
Yeah, and it's scalable too to the size of business. So, if you're a smaller business using MailChimp and Buffer, or midsize using Infusionsoft, you go all the way up to sort of the Lithium or Marketo or some of the big time, big platforms. It's all the same thing, which is a shift of mindset away from promotion to engagement or conversation. And if you, so your question about a starting point, if you start talking to them as humans, that's how you start a conversation, as opposed to seeing them as a target. Like, oh, I gotta pitch them. I gotta promote this. It's like, no, start talking to them as a human. And they'll, as Emily said with our one client, shockingly, the market will respond as humans because they're given the opportunity. Which leads to another use of technology that's massively underutilized, and that is feedback loops at every touch point of the brand, including internally, because we are strong believers that there's no more B2B, there's no more B2C, there's no more internal brand and external brand, there's the brand and the people that touch it. So having feedback loops after an onboarding of a new employee where they get a survey, how was that for you, or having a follow-up survey go out that's short, 2-3 questions, that goes out after a new client comes on board. And so this holistic, human-centric view of process and systems, you can do an examination. It's kind of like a modified or modern version of customer experience mapping. And you can look for these feedback loops and use technology to integrate them, or integrate technology, these feedback loops via technology, and you're going to get a ton of data, a ton of responses. You're going to get a lot of, like, as Emily said, some micro content that you can use in social media. It's going to pay enormous dividends to do that.
Well, that's very good information and insights that you're giving. I think that our listeners would really appreciate this all. I've even got, whilst I was listening and also looking at your website, by going to this emotional part, the intrinsical part, I can imagine that you make, if people come to your website and you got that message already in the homepage and it's like a red thread through everything, that you can also make your qualification. If your story, if it appeals, then people will be more open for your message. But if it doesn't appeal them, they will go away. And I'm referring also to your own website, which you've got warning label. And what you said there on the warning label is, we are not for everyone, but we might be for you. And that's really making the distinction. We're not for everyone. So I can imagine that if you do that kind of story and it's a red thread, that you much more can separate the ones you do not want as a customer and put more of a focus on the ones that you do want to have a customer. Is that a right interpretation?
Yes. And actually, for your listeners, this is the one, like, most practical tip for real marketers that I challenge them to think about. So we think that marketing and branding is all about attraction. We got to get as many people as possible into the funnel. And what we challenge people to consider is that marketing and branding is much more about repulsion than it is about attraction. What you want to do is repel the people who would not be a fit for you, who would be a drain of your time, resources, and energy because of that, as quickly and efficiently as possible, so they never fill out that form on your website. They don't get into the funnel because they're not a match. And when you do that efficiently, when you have the warning label, and when you just shift your mindset to think, okay, with this email, with this campaign, what I'm trying to do is repel the most annoying customer I ever worked with, who was a big suck and waste of my time. Think about that person. How can I repel from a positive place right now at the outset with this language? And there's what happens then is that your lead quality goes way up. Your conversion rate goes up as well, because the people who are repelled will bounce. And the people who are bought in, they're like, what a warning label. I got to talk to these people. They will make it through and they'll convert and they'll be wonderful customers who then sing your praises out in the market.
I think that's a great tip, and I can completely agree with it. It's get the growth by saying no to the ones you don't want, and keep the waste out. There's no use of having 30,000 people on your mailing list and 20,000 people are not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're a waste. They're a waste of time, waste of energy.
Yes.
With all these privacy laws, they're also
Yes, right. And you look at it this way, you guys, too, is one good prospect or customer that does fit, that is a fit, that they're energy positive, there's a good vibe between, that customer is worth probably 100 plus in reach and maybe 10 plus in actual new leads, because they feel that, the thing we said at the beginning of our visit, we feel that sense of belonging. And so it's a much more natural place of word of mouth of like, hey, you got to check these guys out. And you look at the acceleration of all of your sort of super hot brands, like in the United States, announced our global brand Yeti, which is based here in Austin, Texas, where I live, which is outdoor goods, you know, coolers, water bottles, things like that. They have become a global brand in like 5 years because they focused on attracting a certain type of person and repelling another type of person. And here's part of the reason for that. This is one of those hidden costs. The cost of filtering after they're in the funnel is enormously expensive if they're not a right fit. So you can use technology and then language, which is where we would come in. Like we're the we boldly say, the best in the world at helping a brand find its language. When you combine language like warning label or putting your root belief emblazoned on your hero image of your homepage, you combine those two things with technology and language, you're going to get a much more organic system, a funnel system for leads and for conversions.
I think we should conclude it here.
Yeah, we could go on for ages.
And it's such an that's an important part of your of the business of branding. And I think we will invite you on the show in half a year again, because there's so much more to share on the topic. And you've given us beautiful insights. One more thing that I would like to ask you is, let's say people are willing to reach out to you guys because they want to know more about what you do at Root and River, or because they want to know more about what you could do for them. Where can they reach you best? Where can they best reach you?
Thank you. Yes, please come to our website. We invite you. It's Root and River, R-O-O-T and River.com. And there we have tons of blogs. We've got all of our links to our social media. We do workshops in person and virtually. If you click on the Brand Lab tab, you'll see information there about how to get involved if you're interested. And of course, on social media, we're at Root and River. And then our individual handles as well. Mine is at Emily at Large.
And mine's at Foster Thinking. One of the things that we teach all of our clients is you have two brands, yours and the businesses. And so we want to model that. Would also point out that there's a place you can subscribe to our newsletter, and we're going to be, or just to our email list, and we're going to be launching a starter e-course, video course, in probably in the next 30 to 45 days. And if you sign up for it, you'll get on our mailing list and you'll get notification, and we will teach you through video and exercises some of these essential components of building an intrinsic brand.
Justin and Emily, thank you very much. We'll put this in the show notes. So for our listeners, the mentioned URLs and your social media links, website links, will be put into the show notes. Thanks again. And we're looking forward to have you again in a couple of months.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.